Hello and welcome back to a LOL Science episode. This is the final episode of Series 3 of LOL Science. This is episode 5. And I'm aware it has been a while, but this week we are definitely back. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Higgs boson and how it interacts with matter. But to start with, we'll be talking about CERN and how it was discovered in the Large Hadron Collider. Enjoy the podcast. Hello and welcome back. As always, I'm joined by Andrew.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Higgs boson, as was mentioned in the intro. Now, to start with, we're going to have to discuss how it was discovered before we actually elaborate on what it is and how it works.
It was discovered at the LHC, I believe, in Switzerland.
Yeah, in Geneva. And now, this Large Hadron Collider, which is what LHC stands for, is the world's largest and highest energy particle accelerator. And the Higgs boson was expected to be discovered here by the combined efforts of the ATLAS and CMS experiments which are going on here.
And that's part of the ring, but those are different...
Yeah, if you like imagine the Large Hadron Collider to be just a ring of a massive tube, and ATLAS and CMS experiments are just basically located at different parts of the tubes with different detectors. I think there's about half a dozen experiments going on there individually, and the Higgs boson was discovered by the data of both ATLAS and CMS.
So we know that it was discovered there, but how was it discovered? What's the science behind the Large Hadron Collider?
Well, the thing about the Higgs boson is it's actually a very heavy particle. It's one of the heaviest particles we've ever discovered, especially for an elementary particle. I believe it's the second heaviest particle after a strange quark. And with particles so large, this is kind of counterintuitive, but with such large particles, it's actually difficult to observe them directly.
So if it were a smaller particle, it would be easy to find, and it's really heavy.
That's a bit strange, because in a Large Hadron Collider, they're basically smashing together two protons at extremely high speeds, very close to the speed of light, just a fraction of a percentage away from that. And with such high energy, you create, from the debris of this, you create a vast array of different particles. Now, the thing about large particles is they like to decay very quickly. In fact, particles such as the Higgs boson are predicted to decay so quickly that it's just impossible to, you know, measure them in their normal state.
So how did we measure if it's so hard? How did we get to this point?
Yeah, so the thing about all particles is, as I said, they decay. And we look at the products of the decay. Now, these products are usually small particles. And these stay around because they've reached their limit. They don't decay anymore. So this is why they're easy to detect, because they stay there for quite a while. They don't disappear spontaneously like the Higgs boson is. The way we discover if there was a Higgs boson there in the first place is to be examining these products, and more specifically, the quantity of these products.
All right. What products were created from the experiment which found it?
Well, various different products are created. Most of the time, a common byproduct is light. But there's also smaller particles and quarks, and a whole sea of crazy particles can be created by such high-speed collisions. And basically, to find the Higgs boson, you look at a bump in the data, a bump in the number of collisions, so an increase in the number of collisions that you would normally expect. Now, the thing about the Large Hadron Collider is they've been doing tests for quite a while now, since 2008. And they know very accurately the products of decaying certain particles. But because, they can expect the exact products of this collision. And the way they discover a new particle is by examining any differences between the data they actually got and the data they were going to expect. Now, if there's a bump in the data, and more specifically in this scenario, a bump at around 125 GeV, which is simply a measure of mass for small particles, and 125 GeV happens to be the expected weight of the Higgs boson. So if there's a bump in the data at this point, and it's a significant bump, then that implies that there was some particle that was created, which is a new particle, and has decayed to make more of this product.
So we've decided that this is the Higgs boson through the sigma level, I believe it's called.
Yeah, sigma is basically, in mathematics anyway, a way of determining the confidence of a certain discovery. Now, a 3 sigma confidence counts as an observation, and this roughly equates to 99.7% chance that the blip you saw in the data, or the bump you saw in the data, was not a statistical error, but was actually something new. Because sometimes detectors can go wrong, sometimes they're not, there's only to a certain degree of accuracy. So, you know, this bump may just be a fluke. It may not be actually a new particle. But if this bump is significant enough, and more specifically, if you've got enough data, because the more data you have simply increases the accuracy. Because if you find, for example, with these two experiments, if you find that CMS was doing some experiments and they found this bump, and then totally independently, Atlas were doing similar experiments, but not communicating with CMS, and actually got the same information, then that implies quite strongly that it wasn't actually a statistical fluke, because you can see this pattern repeat.
So they'll have had to repeat this several times now to just make sure that what they're getting is a mechanical error.
Not several times, a lot more. In particle physics, a billion collisions is not significant. You need a lot of collisions to examine. And basically, they just measure these collisions. They do loads and loads of collisions, and they just measure the products. And the more collisions they do, the more data they've got, and it increases their chances of, you know, this particle actually existing. So in particle accelerators, like the Large Hadron Collider, they really need to do vast amounts of collisions in their trillions, because they're basically going to be colliding trillions of protons into each other over the course of the years, and this is how they get more and more data. So as I said earlier, a 3 sigma confidence counts as an observation, and that's 99.7% chance of no statistical fluke. But in order to say that you've actually discovered something, now that percentage, 99.7, sounds pretty high anyway, but you actually need to be quite a bit higher, to a higher degree, to say you've discovered something. And this is the 5 sigma level, and this is 99.49s and then a 4% confidence that what you're seeing is actually a new particle and it's not some problem with the data.
So the 0.00046 or a percent is just that's your degree of accuracy.
Error. Yeah, so in a sigma 5 scenario, the chances that what you're seeing is wrong and it's not actually a new particle or a new product you're seeing, yeah, as you said, it's 0.4 and then a 6% probability. So when you get to sigma 5 confidence, you are pretty much certain. We can say qualitatively that we are certain that this is a new particle.
Because we know it has to exist. It's part of the standard model of physics. It's one of the fundamental elementary particles. But finding it was hard. Like dark matter, it has to be there, but we can't see it, we can't observe it until now.
And one of the reasons actually why we haven't been able to observe it until so recently is because, as I said earlier, the Higgs boson is really massive. Now, to create such massive particles from a collision, you need more and more energy, as from E equals mc squared, energy can be interchanged with mass. So if you want such a big particle like the Higgs boson to be formed by this proton collision, then you need these protons to be going at a really fast speed. Now, it's only because recently that we've been able to discover this. It is primarily because the Large Hadron Collider had an energy boost recently. I believe it went to 8 tera electron volts is the speed and the energy it can create in the collisions of two protons. And as I said earlier, the more energy you've got, the easier it is to create these large particles.
So what you're saying is we couldn't see it before because the hadron collider weren't large enough. So when we create a larger version, it'll be easier to see so on and so forth.
A larger version allows your protons to get to a faster speed as well, so that's one of the reasons. But obviously the more energy, the quicker they collide.
Because you said earlier that they're extremely close to the speed of light.
Yeah.
You can't really go faster than that, so surely be the peak point.
Well, yeah, a lot of weird stuff happens when you get near the speed of light. And the closer and closer you get, even though it may only be a small percentage closer to the speed of light, it can really affect significantly what kind of particles you can create. So even though the Higgs boson was proposed, 60 years ago or something.
It was 1964,
yeah. So almost 60 years ago. It's only until now that we can really discover this kind of particle, because the technology simply hadn't been developed as much back then. I mean, it may sound bizarre, but even then, they could get particles flying near the speed of light, in some accelerators.
But compared to how fast we'd be going, a huge percentage less.
Yeah.
And it's just something, we're always going to have this problem with science. We're going to be held back by our own technology.
Yeah.
We aren't.
This is the only problem with well, the one of the main problems with science at the moment is that we have all these equations, this formula, this information, this theory, but it's only when the technology gets developed that we can really start testing things. So that's the primary reason why the Higgs boson took so long to be discovered. But as I'm going to discuss in a minute, have we actually found a Higgs boson?
Could it just be something else? Would it be something like a fermion or a new quark?
Well, we know it's a boson. We can establish that. Because from what we've examined from the statistical data, it has a spin, well, it has an integer spin, and that's one of the characteristics of a boson particle. They have an integer spin.
We usually associate with four, so it can detect it.
A boson particle, basically, as you say, usually associated with force. And unlike fermions, which are things like electrons and the quarks that make up protons and neutrons, which are typically associated with mass, but fermions also have a half-integer spin, whilst bosons have an integer spin and are typically located outside of an atom.
So the shell, as you were, the atom?
Not necessarily, because electrons orbit the shells of an atom, but bosons more generally, although there are a few exceptions such as the gluon, just are free to move and they aren't really affected so much by atoms. They're not inside the atom. Yeah, most bosons can just do this kind of thing. And as we said earlier, the Higgs boson is a fundamental particle for the standard model. So we do need it to make it complete, although there are still a few little problems that we need to brush over, such as the graviton, the gravitation, which we haven't actually discovered yet.
That requires an even larger hadron collider, doesn't it?
It's most likely, yes. And the gravitation itself links to the forces of gravity. So actually, even now, as physicists, we can't describe the laws of gravity. We haven't discovered the particles.
We just know it's there. We can't explain why. Yeah.
And this is what the particle accelerators are trying to do. Okay, so back to the Higgs boson. Now, as I was saying earlier, they have been able to get some data from this new boson particle that they've discovered. And they've managed to narrow down what it actually is. They've said that it hasn't got a spin of 1. Now, the Higgs boson actually has a spin of 0, so it hasn't got a spin of 1. But some particles have a spin of 2, and although this is unlikely to happen, it could still mean that this isn't actually the Higgs boson.
So, if it isn't the Higgs boson, what exactly, will it just be a similar particle but not?
Well, actually, it's unlikely for it to have a spin of 2 because these kind of particles are so crazy anyway that we would almost, from other properties, see instantly that it was something totally different. They're usually things like antimatter, and other strange things that we haven't really got our head around completely yet. So we would kind of know quite quickly if it did have a spin of 2, but it is still possible. And another thing that they've been able to find, as you probably heard, is that it has a mass between 125 and 126 gigaelectron volts. Now this roughly correlates to what we were expecting for the Higgs boson, so that's another way of increasing its confidence. However, even if this is the Higgs boson particle that we found, and as I said, we don't know for sure, however, we are pretty certain that it is. But even if it isn't the standard Higgs, it could be something else.
So you're saying there's more than one type of Higgs boson, with ones which have different properties?
Yeah. It may not be, even if it is like the Higgs that we were expecting, it may not work in the same way as we were thinking. For example, the data that they've shown knows that we've got a new boson, most likely the Higgs boson, but it doesn't say, or it doesn't explain, if or how the Higgs boson gives mass to particles. So, you know, we've discovered this new boson particle, but it doesn't back up the data that the Higgs boson gives mass.
So this is what we're saying, this would be 0.0004% error.
No.
It could be what Higgs is.
Not really. That's more to do with, have we found a particle or not, that error margin. And the idea here is that we've found a particle, most likely the Higgs boson, but it may be a different type of Higgs boson. It may be a supersymmetry counterpart.
Supersymmetry is the theory where each fundamental elementary particle has an overweight twin. As it
yeah, a more, yeah, a massive twin, which is far heavier and has more mass.
Such examples of that are...
This is a theory, but we think that every particle has this opposite, so the electron, I think, is the S electron, so selectron, and the quarks are called sparks. They're basically doing everything for
this. This is also what the LHC is investigating.
Yeah, this is another thing that they're investigating in the LHC, another theory that they're looking into is supersymmetry. That's a whole new discussion we could perhaps talk about that on another podcast. But back to the Higgs boson. So as we say, we know it's a new boson. Is it the Higgs boson? If it is the Higgs boson, it doesn't explain that it gives mass to particles. And it could be a different type of Higgs boson, like the supersymmetry.
Well, when you talk about giving mass to particles, that's if it interacts with the Higgs field, isn't it? And
yeah.
The Higgs boson is like the product of that, I believe.
Perhaps more like the other way around, but yeah. Higgs bosons collectively interact with each other to form a Higgs field. Now, this is a bit abstract, but if you think about like a consistent, never-changing field, like, and when I say field, I mean just like some kind of flow. It's kind of hard to explain, but imagine like a square grid that's just positioned on top of space-time, and at each intersection between the lines is a Higgs boson. And this field spans across the whole of space-time. It's just like an invisible, you know, like membrane that's moving across the whole space.
So a particle which hasn't yet interacted with this has no mass.
Yeah. If there was no Higgs field, all particles that we see around us today would be moving at the speed of light. So they don't need to be photons, which are the particles of light, to move the speed of light. It could be just the matter that makes up my hand, or anything, the computer, a microphone. All those particles would be moving at the speed of light. And when they're moving at such a fast speed, they effectively don't have mass, because they can never, ever clump together to form larger molecules and particles. Because if you imagine particles whizzing at such high speed, for example, cars going down a motorway, the chances of them, if they're moving parallel to each other, they're never really going to clump together to form larger mass, are they? So the faster something's moving, the less kind of relative mass it has, because they can't form together or clump together. So the thing about the Higgs field is, when a Higgs field comes into play, and as a particle moves through it, it effectively acquires drag, which slows it down, and means that these particles can now clump together, because they're moving at a more stable speed, and this forms mass. So this kind of system, this process, is often being compared to the likes of, you know, an object moving through treacle. So if you imagine, for example, a bullet shot through the air, it's going so fast it can't really interact with the particles around it to clump together. But if it was going through treacle, it would slow down and, you know, it would come to a halt, and other particles could then, by the force of gravity, come into each other, and now it has mass.
Yes, so essentially, it's at the Big Bang and it's given everything, but it's still out there.
Yeah. The Higgs field, if the theory is correct, has been spanning across space-time for billions of years. In fact, we think the Higgs field first came into play about a second after the Big Bang. Now, as physicists, relatively, we know very little about this second, because the laws of physics start to break down. But we think around about the end of this second, the temperatures of the Big Bang just cooled down enough for Higgs bosons to form, and this would form the Higgs field. Because before that first second, we think that there were not, well, first of all, there weren't many particles at all, and obviously none of them would have mass if this theory was true, because there's no Higgs field for them to interact with.
But I think I'd be safe saying the only particles out there would be the fundamental elementary particles. They would then interact with the Higgs field, which is a bunch of Higgs bosons, which then give them mass, and they'll go on to go create more particles than the supersymmetry could then form off that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Higgs boson and the Higgs field really kind of gives life to everything. Because if you think about it, without it, nothing we see around us would exist. No, matter would never have the chance to clump together or gain mass. It would just be some black cosmos with particles whizzing around it incredibly high speeds, and they're not really doing anything. They're never going to be able to clump together to form mass. It will just be a chaos of particles, and you won't have anything obviously around it.
Essentially the heart of everything.
Yeah.
The beating soul.
But what I actually said there is it was a chaos of particles, but what's kind of weird is that in terms of physics, this is perfection. Particles moving at the speed of light is like perfect. It's what was supposed to happen. And in a way, the Higgs field was kind of like a fluke. It may not have even meant to have occurred, although this is something different entirely. But it may not have. Everything we see around us is a product of imperfection. If the universe itself was perfect, all particles would be moving at an incredibly fast speed, all parallel to each other, never colliding, never forming. That is a perfect universe, in inverted commas. So everything we see around us is imperfection. It wasn't really meant to happen.
But by not happening, it then becomes perfect again, you're kind of saying. It's kind of, it starts out, then goes back down, then continues on again. Is that what you're essentially getting at?
I'm not entirely sure what you mean, but...
Well, you said how the Higgs boson is essentially perfect.
If there was no Higgs field, then the universe would be, in inverted commas, perfect, because the particles would never clump together or acquire mass. They would all be running parallel to each other and at an incredibly fast speed. So that is perfection in the sense that there's no... It's all the same. Wherever you look at it, it's perfection. So that's that kind of definition.
But, so, could that have been what was before the Big Bang, just utter perfection?
Yeah, the idea is that, well, the first second of the Big Bang is a bit of an exception because although there was no Higgs field, it still nevertheless was not perfection because particles were still forming out of nothing. So there wasn't any perfect form there. But if the Higgs field never came into existence and we just let the universe carry on expanding, then yeah, nothing that we see around us would ever happen. As by definition, there would be no mass. And imagine a world without mass. Everything we see around us involves mass of some form.
It would just be an empty space with invisible particles moving around of their own way.
And the thing is, the Higgs field, and this is quite important, doesn't affect all particles. And as you may have been wondering, what about light? You see, light and the quantum of light, so the smallest possible part of light, is a photon. And a photon travels at the speed of light. And in fact, anything that travels at the speed of light, by definition, must not have mass, because it isn't interacting with the Higgs field.
And light doesn't clump together exactly. Like the mass in my hand or a book.
And in fact, if we think about perfection again, light is kind of a ripple of perfection, because if you think about a beam of light, all the particles are moving in the same direction and concentrated on the same area. And in that sense, it's perfection because they're not slowing down and they're not clumping together. It's just a single beam of light moving from point A to point B. And that, so that's kind of, you know, a leftover of perfection.
So that's the final hurrah for the perfection of the universe.
Well, this is kind of a whole other topic we're going into completely. But if you think about things like supersymmetry, which we were talking about earlier, and the idea that everything is a symmetrical twin, that's kind of links into the ideas of perfection as well. And even in nature, we do see like utters of perfection, like, for example, a symmetrical face or the spirals and plants. You know, it's not chaos, certainly, but it's just, it wasn't meant to happen. If there was absolute quantum perfection, every particle would just, you know, be whizzing around at the speed of light. So the Higgs boson is incredibly important.
It's formed us, as it were.
Yeah. And this is why it's kind of, well, it's one of the reasons why it's often referred to as the God particle. Because if you want to be all, like, mystic about it, it kind of is God. Because it kind of follows the Bible as well. Like, he created light, and that was the beginning of the Big Bang, and then, like, the Earth and the mass and the cosmos came together. And that's kind of what the Higgs boson did. It allowed for mass to clump together, for stars to form, and eventually for life to come into play.
Of course, it did it a lot quicker than 7 days, probably about a second.
Well, not for the life part. And not
the life, but...
For the mass, that came around spontaneously. But in terms of things like planets or stars or even large clumps of matter, that did literally take hundreds of thousands of millions of years.
It's either extremely quick or extremely slow. There's no medium.
No, it was... Yeah, it very quickly went to mass, but it took a long time for anything that we see around us to form. So... You know, it's not like the Higgs boson can come into existence and suddenly out of nothing knows its perfection. It does take time.
This is quite possibly the greatest discovery in physics this decade.
Yeah.
In other news... In Fukushima in Japan, it has been decided by the government that the fallout was caused by human error and that the overseeing company TEPCO failed to conform to government regulations.
Also, in South Korea, they unveil a scientific whaling proposal. and Europe has launched its latest weather satellite, Meteosat, and plans it to be 36,000 kilometres above the Earth. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Lore Science. There won't be an episode next week, as this is the end of Series 3, but be sure to join us on Wednesday the 1st of August, when we will be releasing the new episode of Series 4. It will involve a new podcast structure, making it more interesting and easy to listen to. If you'd like to hear more about us, then visit our blog at www.lorescience.blogspot.com, follow us on Twitter @LoreSci, or like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/LoreSci. Thank you for listening.